All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations in your Old Testament. It's right after the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's the big book, and Lamentations is a small book that follows, written by the same fellow. Jeremiah wrote both books. You remember that Jeremiah is referred to as the weeping prophet. And here is this book of Lamentations, which is some of the things that he's weeping about. All right. He was weeping because Israel as a nation had been overtaken by the Babylonians, and their nation was literally disbanded and destroyed. Their temple was ransacked, and the young people were carried away back to Babylon and put into slavery. And so Jeremiah is lamenting all that Israel was, and now there's nothing. And so we pick it up in the fourth chapter here, and I'll start reading in verse 1 and read down through verse 4. And my text is going to come from the third verse. I'll show you that in just a moment. But if you look at verse 1, Jeremiah is lamenting Israel's demise. And he uses pictures to express his lament. And he says in verse 1, how is the gold become dim? How is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the works of the hands of the potters? Think about that for just a moment. The precious sons, he's talking about all of those 10,000 young people that were taken back to Babylon, and how they were no longer viewed as the hope of the nation, but were demeaned and chained and put into slavery and servitude, and they're no longer viewed as vessels of fine gold, but just earthen pots. How sad. That gives you a little idea of the sorrow that is in his heart when he thinks about what has happened to his people. Then in verse 3, look at it. It says, even the sea monsters draw out the breast. They give suck to their young ones. The daughters, here's my text. Now listen carefully. The daughters of my people is become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. Think about that for just a moment. The daughters of my people is become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the sucking child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask bread, and no man breaketh it unto them. That's a sad story, isn't it? How sad when a nation, when a people becomes so desolate. Now, I want you to go back to verse 3, and there the prophet is describing the women, the mothers, and their children. And he says, the daughters of my people is become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. I want to use this verse and bring a message to you this morning, basically on the family, on raising children, on being a mother, a godly mother. And you'll notice here that when Jeremiah is lamenting the condition of Israel, he is talking about these mothers who are neglecting their children. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does here is use picture in order to present the point, to make the point. And the picture here is of an ostrich. Now, we are at a little disadvantage here in America because we don't have ostriches in America. They are not native to our land, and we don't know anything about them. And so when I read that, I was a little puzzled, and I thought, well, now, what's he talking about here? So I started researching it and looking to see, and I found out some interesting things. An ostrich is a strange creature. And one of the things about the ostrich, you know, most mothers, even in nature, it is instinctive for them to be concerned for their offspring, but not the ostrich. The ostrich lays her eggs, just lays them wherever she is, and she will lay her eggs. She will not protect them. She will not build a nest. She just lays them on the sand. And she just trusts that the dust will blow over them and protect them. She doesn't guard the nest. She doesn't brood on the nest. She doesn't sit on the nest. She just lays her eggs, and then she just goes and does her thing. She just lives her life and never thinks another thing about her eggs and about her little ones. And that is the picture that Jeremiah brings to his lamentation. And he sees the mothers of Israel really just neglecting their own children. And he laments that fact. So using this as this picture and using this statement, he says in verse 3, the daughters of my people is become cruel. I want to speak to you this morning, a message I'm simply going to entitle, The Mother Ostrich. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless and end the message. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the beautiful music we have heard this morning. And I pray that now our hearts are prepared to receive the seed of your word. I pray that you will bless the message that is about to be preached. May it speak to our hearts. May it open our understanding to an urgent need. Here was Jeremiah, this great man of God, lamenting the condition that Israel had fallen into. And Father, there seems to be so many parallels to our world today. And I pray that you will help us to see those parallels. And may we determine that we are not going to follow the example of the ostrich. That, Lord, we will realize the sacred trust that has been given to us with our children. And Lord, I pray that you will stir our hearts this morning. And just send revival to our families and revival to our hearts to do what we can to make sure that our children know the God of heaven. So, Lord, bless. I pray you'll help me as I speak this morning. Give me the strength. Give my voice the assistance it needs. And, Lord, my voice is weak this morning. So I pray you'll help me to have a strong voice and just say what needs to be said. And bless the message now to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. My text comes from the Old Testament book of Lamentations. This is Jeremiah's Lamentations. He is lamenting all that has come upon the nation of Israel as a result of their disobedience and their wandering away from God. And like the rest of this book, the text that I have chosen to preach from this morning is a sad lament. Everything in this book just drips with tears. Everything in this book is a word of sadness. But this verse is more than just a lament. It is also a very cutting and sharp rebuke. What the prophet sees has made his blood boil. He is a little angry as he takes up the pen and makes his indictment against the people of Israel. He cannot help but just step aside and look upon their behavior with words of strong protest. Now, who is it that has stirred the heart and the anger of the prophet? Well, strange to say, it is not some worthless father who has got him stirred up. He is not taking his pen and directing his anger against the fathers of the land. You know, throughout time, many a preacher and many a prophet have been justified in blaming society's problems on dads who do nothing or next to nothing to lead their families in walking with God. But the prophet here is not lamenting the do-less dads. Instead, the person singled out for rebuke here in this chapter is the mother. If a mother is a flippant, thoughtless, self-centered, self-absorbed individual, that normally doesn't change whenever that woman becomes a mother. Sadly, there are those who remain vain and selfish and heartless even after becoming a mother. And Jeremiah lamented these poor children who had to be raised by these careless mothers. He said in my text, "The daughters of my people is become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness." Now, let's look at this picture that was a word picture that was painted by the prophet and make some application for our purposes here this morning. There are three things I want you to see. The first thing I want you to notice with me is the charge that was leveled against the mothers. Let's think about the charge, the indictment, if you will, that is leveled against the mothers. Notice that Jeremiah did not charge these mothers with unfaithfulness to their marriage vows. Oh no, that's not mentioned at all. He did not charge them with being what stereotypically is the charge against women. He did not charge them with being adulterers or charge them with being busybodies or charge them with being gossips or snooping into the business of others. No, none of that was mentioned at all. His charge against these mothers was a charge of cruelty. Look carefully at verse 3. At the end it says, "The daughter of my people is become cruel." Now I thought about that and I wondered, what in the world does this mean? What was Jeremiah saying when he was accusing the mothers of the nation of being cruel individuals? And it occurred to me that within this charge is a wide range of accusations. For someone to be cruel, well, folks, that's really a shameful thing. You know, God deliver us from being cruel to one another. That's a shameful thing. I literally despise to see children being cruel to one another. But boy, that's what sinners do, isn't it? And it's shameful when it happens. My office, as many of you know, is right where the kids get out of school and they come and wait on mom to pick them up. And there are many a day in the course of a year where my window is open, or where I will be standing at the window and I can see and I can hear, and they do not in most times know that I'm there. And I have heard some awful cruel things said from one child to another, or from a couple of children to another. And we ought to work on that, folks. You ought to be training your children to be kind one to another, not be cruel one to another. Yes, we're all different, and I'm glad we are. I mean, wouldn't it be a sad thing if everybody wore a blue suit and everybody wore a whatever color that is tie? I mean, wouldn't it be a sad world if we all looked alike and dressed alike and acted alike and talked alike and behaved alike? It would be a boring world. But the truth of the matter is, God made us all different, and one should not be cruel to another because we're different. It just drives me crazy when I see that. And that has always affected me that way. I remember when I was a child, we all had to go down to a central location to catch the bus. And they would send two buses into our community to pick us up. There was a bus for the younger kids and a bus for the older kids. And so the first grade through the sixth grade had a bus, and then the seventh through the 12th had a bus. And we would go down and stand at the bus stop, and I remember being in about the fourth or fifth grade, and there was a kid that would come, and the older boys picked on this kid. From the time he stepped into the circle, he was picked on. And for lack of a better word, just so you will understand, this kid was a nerd. Now, that's just all there is to it. There's no other way to say it. I think you can understand that I'm not picking on him. I'm just telling you, he was a nerd. He knew he was a nerd. He never did anything to change his nerdicity, but he was a nerd. And bless his heart, I knew his parents. I delivered a newspaper and collected for the newspaper, and so I knew his parents, and his parents were nerds as well. But the kid was a nerd. But still, he was a human being. And when he would come, the older kids would pick on him, and they would knock him in the back of the head and throw things at him. And that bothered me. I remember defending him many a time at the bus stop. And I remember getting some of the guys that were my age that I hung around with, and we would stand in between the older kids that picked on him and separate him from the others just so they would leave him alone. My point is, folks, people can be so mean, so cruel. And when we think of cruelty, that's usually what comes to our mind. It's somebody bullying someone else or someone being mean to someone else. And people can be that way. But is that the charge that was being made by Jeremiah, that these mothers were cruel in that fashion? Well, I'm going to take that a step further in just a minute. But before I get there, let me say this. I just want to praise the Lord this morning that the gospel of Jesus Christ comes to each of us with tenderness. Amen. The Bible does not come to us. The gospel does not come to us with cruelty. Is there anything as ugly and as demeaning as cruelty? But let me say, nothing is as beautiful as kindness. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5:32, "And be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I think that was one of the characteristics that people noticed the most about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was always kind to everybody. I don't care who it was. I don't care where it is in the Gospels. Jesus was always kind to everyone. There is not one instance in any of the Gospel books of Jesus being unkind to anyone. You never read, not even once, of him treating anyone with cruelty. He was always greeting folks with open arms. And the prophet's charge against these mothers is that they were being cruel to their own children. Now, does that mean that they were abusing them? Does that mean that they were beating them? No, I don't think it does. That leads me to my second point. So what does it mean? I want you to notice, secondly, what was the nature of their cruelty? What was the nature of their cruelty? You see, whenever we read the word cruelty, we usually think of aggressive behavior, like I illustrated a moment ago with the little guy at the bus stop. We think of somebody doing something hurtful, something mean, something ugly to another person. But their cruelty was not this kind of aggressive behavior. You see, I don't think these mothers were forcing their children to do hard labor in horrible conditions. They were not inflicting on them any physical harm or abusing them with beatings or causing them any type of physical pain. You say, well then, Pastor, what form did their cruelty take? Well, Jeremiah gives us the clue. Jeremiah tells us that the cruelty that they inflicted upon their children was like that which was practiced by the mother ostrich. Now, you and I wouldn't know anything about that because we don't have ostriches here in America. But if you will take the time to do a little research, you will notice that that the biblical writers and the Holy Spirit really do not care much for this bird. They don't think much of the ostrich. Every time the ostrich is mentioned in the Bible, it is mentioned in a negative light. The ostrich is in the Bible a symbol of cruelty and forgetfulness. Job said in his book, "She leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust and forgetteth that the foot may crush them or that the wild beast might break them. She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers." That's the charge. That's the cruelty. That's the nature of the cruelty against these mothers. In other words, the ostrich did not want to be bothered by her offspring. She was too busy doing her own thing to worry about her little ones. And we have all seen mothers like this. She is more concerned about herself than she is about the well-being of her own offspring. Folks, it's no wonder the prophet was so upset at the mothers of Israel. For neglect is an absolutely horrible thing where children are involved. So that's the nature of the cruelty. Now, that leads me to my third point. But don't get too comfortable. I told you I only have 3 points, but there are 3 points to the third point, okay? So let's think thirdly about why these mothers were neglecting their children. You know, it's shameful when a mother neglects her children. And isn't it interesting that just about everything in nature is concerned, just about every animal is concerned for their offspring, except for the ostrich. Weird, isn't it? I mean, I watched a show on the Evolution Channel the National Geographic Channel the other night. And they were talking about these crocodiles and how they build the nest and how that mother crocodile protects. And here's this heinous looking creature. I mean, just beastly, ugly creature. And yet that mother is out there protecting that nest. But not the ostrich. The ostrich just lays her eggs and then she goes, okay, I'm done with this. And she goes and does her own thing. Isn't that strange? And God, who created that ostrich, by the way, takes that one creature and uses that one creature to illustrate how awful it is for a mother to neglect her own children. Let's think about why these mothers were neglecting their children. Now, I feel confident in saying that they don't think that I don't think their neglect was because of any ill will. I dare say that there was not a mother among them, not one in Israel, not one that ever set out to deliberately make her child a menace to himself or a menace to society. So, what would have been the cause of this neglect? Let me give you 3 things I think could be the cause of this neglect. Number one, maybe these mothers failed to recognize the fact of each child's supreme value. Oh, please understand that. I don't care how many children you have. You do realize that each one is valuable in their own right. If someone were to come to you and say, listen, you have three, you have five, you have six, you got to give one up. Wow, how do you determine that? You see, they each have their own value. And so maybe these mothers simply failed to recognize the fact of the child's supreme value. Maybe they were taking the fine gold. Look at verse 2. Maybe they were taking the fine gold of childhood and treating it as if it were just commonplace earthenware. Let me remind you, folks. Let me remind you the value that the Lord Jesus placed upon a child. When he was asked one day, who is the greatest in the kingdom? He did not point to any king. He did not point to any orator. He did not point to any physician or any philosopher. No, he took a child and he set that child on his lap and said, this is the most valuable thing in the kingdom. You see, folks, so important is the child. He tells us that the angels that are of the highest rank are the ones who have the care over the children. And you know, I can't wait to get to heaven to meet the angels, and I guarantee you there's got to be more than one who have been given the charge over two of my grandsons, Grayson and Brennan. Those are the busiest two little guys I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you can be sitting there and all of a sudden, whew, this streak goes by. And then you hear this boom, and then you hear another boom on top of that. And you look over and there's one laying on the floor, and then the other is piled over on top of him. And you wonder how in the world could either one of them get up from that, and yet they bounce right up and they're ready to go at it again. And if you don't stop them, they will do it again. We told them last Sunday, go outside. Just go outside. Please go outside. And so Karen's last words as they were going out the door, stay out of the trees at the neighbor's yard. They go down in those trees, and it's just a tick haven. That's all it is, a tick haven. They go down in there, come out, you got to pick the ticks off of them. So we tell them, stay out of there. And so it was quiet. I didn't hear them out back. And I sneaked out the door, looked down, sure enough, there's Grayson halfway up the tree, a pine tree. And he's out there climbing up the tree. I said, hey, what? What are you doing? Nothing. Well, get up here and quit doing nothing. I can't wait to shake the hand of those angels that are watching over them. And I know that those angels are exhausted. I know they are. So important is the child that Jesus solemnly warns against despising or undervaluing these priceless treasures. Folks, the Lord Jesus said, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. So important, so valuable, so precious are they that the Lord said that if you offend one of these little ones, it would be better off for you that a millstone be hanged around your neck and you be cast into the depths of the sea. But the question is this, why is a child so vastly important? Well, let me tell you why. Because the children are the makers of tomorrow. That's why. You see, folks, sooner than any of us realize, everything we possess today is sooner than we realize going to slip into their hands. So maybe they failed to recognize the fact of the child's supreme value. Maybe that's why they were cruel, because they didn't recognize a child's value. Secondly, Maybe they failed to realize the terrible tragedy that is born of neglect. Folks, listen. God did not give us children for us to ignore those children. That's not why He gave them. Every human being realizes and understands the deadliness of neglecting a child's physical needs. We all understand that. There's not a person here that doesn't understand that. If you ignore and abandon a baby physically, that baby is not going to survive. You bring that child home from the hospital after giving birth, and man, it is incumbent upon you to be there when that child, for every need that child has. But if you ignore and abandon a baby physically, that baby's not going to survive. We all know that. Neglecting the physical needs of a child spells disaster for any child. But now listen to me, church. Our children have other hungers and needs beside those of a physical nature. They hunger for the breath of life. They thirst for the water of life. And this spiritual neglect that is happening today among parents is revealing itself in our country. Last week, Gallup reported that 67% of Americans, now think of this, folks, this is mind-boggling. 67% of Americans today believe that marijuana should be legalized. Where does that come from? How do we get to the place where we are a nation looking to stay stoned to help us deal with ourselves and with our problems? How do we get there? How has our nation lost her soul? How has America gotten to the place where we have abandoned God and rejected the Word of God, and where we are willing to give up our freedoms that our Constitution guarantees us we have? How did that happen? Well, I tell you how it happened. It happened because we are reaping in our children the harvest of a generation that has neglected God and His Word. And folks, with mothers and fathers neglecting the spiritual needs of their children, we are going to be seeing our nation continue its gradual slide away from God. You'll remember that the Apostle John said in 1 John 2, that the world is continuously in the process of passing away. That means that the world is just getting farther and farther away from God. Laws are being made today based on public opinion. Here's what Congress does. They get together and they stick their finger in their mouth, hold it up, and see which way the wind's blowing, and that's how they vote on things, not based on truth. And laws are being passed today based on public opinion and what sinners want, and not based upon truth or morality or decency or what's right or what's wrong. And all of this spiritual slide of our nation is due to the fact that there is a great spiritual neglect that has been taking place in our homes. Let me tell you something, Mom and Dad. Love your children. Hold your children. Talk to your children. Teach your children what is right and what is wrong. Pray with them and lead them to Christ and train them in the way they ought to go. That is your responsibility. There's no room for neglect when it comes to our children. Don't be like an ostrich, but you love your children. Number three, maybe they failed to realize the rich rewards of being a good mother. And let me tell you something, Mom. There is a reward. There is a reward for being a good mother. Can I remind you when Solomon was describing the virtuous woman in the book of Proverbs? One of the things he said about her is that her family will rise up and call her blessed. Man, that's a great thing. There is not a greater reward for a mother than to have her children love, honor, and respect her. But wait a minute, it's costly to be a mother. It's expensive. Can I remind you? Oh, it's a sad verse when you look at it in this light. But in the Gospels it says, there stood by the cross of Jesus Mary, his mother. There's a cost. It's costly to be a mother. The place of motherhood at its best is always beside the cross. Hers is a daily dying to self. Before that, we should not pity her, for that is the place where mother does her finest work. When she is by the cross, that's where she does her finest work. That's where she shines the brightest for the glory of God. My mind goes back to the book of Exodus, to the mother of Moses. The edict of Pharaoh was that all the Jewish boys were to be killed. They were to be thrown into the river. But the mother of Moses could not allow her precious baby to be slaughtered by this evil ruler. So by faith, we are told, she took a basket and she placed that precious little baby boy of hers in that basket and carefully placed him in the reeds, knowing that the daughter of Pharaoh would be coming to that very spot. And when the daughter of Pharaoh saw this little pudgy-faced baby boy, her heart melted and she scooped him up and she said, oh, look at this. He will be raised in the palace. Find a midwife that can provide for this, my new adopted son. And God, don't miss this now, and God, in his providential care, saw to it that baby Moses was placed back in the hands of his mother. And mother raised him as her own son. And the writer of Hebrews said it best when he said, by faith, after the child was grown, by faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, folks, that was Moses coming to his own faith. But can I tell you that Moses learned his own faith at the knees of his own mother's faith? Amen. Amen. It is to mothers such as this that humanity owes its greatest debt. It is to such that we, under God, look with hope toward tomorrow. I am so thankful that we have so many mothers who have this understanding of raising and training their children to love God and to serve the Lord. The mother ostrich lays her eggs and then she just walks away. And Jeremiah said, that mother ostrich is cruel. Oh, she's cruel. You see, children cannot handle that neglect. They must be loved. They must be nurtured. They must be cared for, and they must be trained. When I was pastoring out at Ridgewood Baptist in Joliet, Illinois, there was we started a bus ministry soon after I became the pastor of the church. And we were bringing in about 35, 40 kids on this one bus. And we brought them right out of one of the worst sections of Joliet, just one of the worst sections. And half the kids there had no idea who their daddy was. And half of them didn't know who their siblings were. I mean, it was a terrible situation for a lot of them. And there was one little teenage boy, and he took a liking to me. And as soon as the bus opened up, he come running in looking for me. And when I saw him come through the door, big old smile hit his face, and he would run over and embrace me and grab me around the waist, and I'd hug him back, and I'd say to him, "You've been a good boy this week." He'd look up at me, and he'd say, "Well, I had my moments." And I said, "You've been misbehaving this week?" And he said, "A couple of times." And I would point my finger at him, and I said, "Now look, you're saved now. You got to do right. You want to be an example to your mother, don't you?" And he would say, "Oh, yeah." "You want your mom to get saved, don't you?" "Yeah." I said, "Well, then you have to behave so your mother sees that Jesus has made a difference in your life. She's not going to want the Lord as her Savior if she can't see a change in you." Amen. Oh, that hit him like a ton of bricks. And the next Sunday, he came running back in. I said, "You been a good boy this week?" He looked up and he said, "Yes, I've been a good boy this week." I said, "You let the Lord shine through your life, huh?" "Yeah, boy. Mom saw Jesus this week, Pastor." And it wasn't long before Mom started riding the bus. And it wasn't long before Mom got saved. You see, folks, there's no room for neglect. There's no room for neglect anywhere. There's no room for cruelty. And you're being cruel if you're raising your children without understanding and a relationship with God. Let's do what we can. I mean, if you and I were able to go to some foreign land where we could witness the birth of a nest of ostrich eggs, we might see those little chicks pop out of the dirt, shaking themselves off, and then innately looking around for someone to help and someone to nurture them along. But sadly, mother could care less. And when those little chicks come out of the eggs and they're looking around and shaking off the dust, they don't see mama. That's why many of them don't make it. Mama's not there to take care of them. We've got a nest in the shrubs out in front of the house, and they're mockingbirds. And there's a mama and there's a papa, and papa is always on the watch. And when I walk out that door, papa gets on on the limb of that dogwood tree in front of my house, and he lets me know that he don't want me there. And he yaps at me, and he fusses at me. And when I go back in, he flies back over, and he sits where the nest is. When I come out the door, boom, right back in that tree he goes. And yak, 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 he fusses at me. If I get up, start walking around the house towards the nest, he'll zigzag in front of me, and he's just squawking as I go. He doesn't want me. He knows his job is to protect those little ones in the nest. I was sitting out there the other day, and a crow flew over. And that crow swung around and landed in the yard. Man, out of that tree came that mockingbird, and he took a dive down towards that crow and pecked at him as he went by. I couldn't tell if he hit him or not, but I know this, that crow got out of there. I don't blame him. I wouldn't want that thing knocking me on top of the head. You see, there's just something instinctual that God has put in us to protect our children. So, Mom, don't you let the devil come along and turn you into an ostrich. They are yours. They will always be yours. It doesn't make any difference if they're married and out of the house. They're still yours. And your job will never end. May God help us. May God help us not to be cruel to our children.